We share with you what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church and this affirmation of our faith from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. We are God's own people, that we may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once we were no people, but now we are God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. The reading today from God's Word is from 1 Timothy, in the third chapter, just the 16th verse. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. We have, for the last several weeks, reminded you that we at Daleville Christian Church want you to be connected. We want you connected to Jesus Christ. And as a part of that connection to Jesus Christ is being connected to Jesus' church. And worship is one of those connections. It's a personal connection to the Lord. It's a personal connection to the body of Christ. It's a connection of the body to the Lord, who is the head. Worship is connection cubed. If prayer is personal connection with the Lord, then prayer and worship is connection squared to the second power. Worship is three connections. You and the Lord, you and the congregation with the Lord. Worship is important, even essential. And Jesus said that He Himself would show up to your gathering if just two were present. And that whole thing about having two people present, that isn't for Jesus' benefit. That showing up with another person in order that Jesus might show up, that's for your benefit. It's not for Jesus' benefit. It's for your benefit. Jesus wants someone else in worship with you for your benefit. Another person makes that three-way communication possible. That other person makes that three-level communication possible. Now, we need to do a quick review. We've been talking about what we believe. We've been talking about our worship service as an expression of what we believe, and that includes even the furniture in the sanctuary and its placement. It includes the songs we sing. Come to find out that some parts of the worship are not only based in God's Word, but have been a part of Christian worship for centuries. One Sunday, we looked at the Bible phrases that we are directed to sing and teach, mentioning particularly psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Come to find out that even the Bible itself is made up of some of those songs. And our hymnal has hymns in it based on the Bible, some more directly based on the Bible than others. So today we look at another piece of God's Word, and that from 1 Timothy. Another piece of God's Word that is a quotation of something else. And that something else is from the worship of the apostles in the apostles' churches. This is what they sang. And again, we can admit it's a little harder to actually see these words on the Bible page as words to sing, since we don't read or speak the Greek that was spoken in the early church. But let the Greek scholars assure you there's a good reason to print these words in the Bible differently than all the other words in the Bible around that passage. It is probable that the apostle is quoting a verse of a song that the congregation already knows from their worship. He's reminding them of something they know and proclaim. Truthfully, in this verse, there is not a lot that is new to any of us. This is what we can call traditional material. It's a tradition, but back then, and even now, that tradition is very important. And why? Well, a couple of reasons. This letter of 1 Timothy, written by the apostle, refers to some people who are proclaiming other teachings. Because you see, back then, not everyone had a Bible. Everyone didn't even have all of the four Gospels written down in front of them. Didn't even have all of Paul's letters in front of them. Some congregations might not have had anything written down that they could refer to. What they did have was what the apostles were saying and what the apostles were remembering and what the apostles were restating from Jesus' own words. They did not have, at the time this letter was written, they didn't have a Bible in front of them. Oh, they may have had a written Old Testament, but they didn't have the Gospels and the letters and the rest of the New Testament. The apostle mentions in this letter, in 1 Timothy, people who have accepted foolish talk. The Bible says that some have turned to meaningless talk instead of the accepted teaching of the apostles. In today's bulletin, in the notes, the sermon notes, mentions for you there three times in this very letter the apostle has to refer to teaching that is certain, teaching that is trustworthy, teaching that is secure. The saying is sure, he will write. Or here is a trustworthy saying, and then he quotes something they already know or something they should already know. Elsewhere in this same letter, the apostle refers to this false teaching as foolishness, foolish speculations that people are exchanging for the truth. They're exchanging the truth for speculation. And I can ask, friends, have we not already seen this in our own time? Have we not already seen this in our own day, in our own country? Haven't we seen people in the church abandoning the Word of God for an interpretation of the Word of God? But let me make something we have already talked about very clear for you. Last time we looked at the hymn of Christ in Philippians chapter 2. It reminds us that Jesus was indeed God. This is a key factor in knowing that we are Christians. To say that Jesus really existed does not make us Christians. To say that Jesus was a great teacher does not make a person a believer. To say that Jesus was a great man does not make a person a Christian. Saying that Jesus was indeed the creator of heaven and earth and Lord of all as God, when you say that, you have crossed over into the area of the believer. If you can claim that Jesus is the Christ, you are a believer. You have stepped into the Christian faith. So when you say that Jesus is the Christ, you are not Jewish. You are not Muslim. And if you would make clear that you believe that Jesus is the Christ of the only God there is, well, you've cut yourself out of almost every other religion in the world. You are Christian, and a Christian only. No other faith can claim you if you would make clear that you believe that Jesus is the Christ of the only God there is. You are a Christian. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Those are the Apostle Peter's words in Matthew's book and in Luke's book when Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And by the way, that is exactly what we ask you here at Daleville Christian Church. If you want to follow Jesus here at Daleville Christian Church, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you take him as your Lord and Savior? Yes or no? And on your answer hangs your faith and your participation in the Christian faith. We ask you what Jesus asks. Who do you say that Jesus is? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And do you take him as your Lord and Savior? Now, our habit is to ask that question while you are in the baptistry, surrounded by water in baptism. So we're fairly certain what your answer will be. And when you say yes, when you affirm this statement as your faith, then as Jesus taught us to do, we baptize you. So is what I'm talking about important? You bet it is. Is what we do in our worship important? Yes, very important. Is what we practice in our worship important? It makes all the difference. Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, no, you will be Christian. We are Christians. Now, when we look at this text from 1 Timothy, he appeared in the body, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. These simple and brief words, they serve as a reminder. For the apostle reminds his people, our God loved us so much as to come to us in human flesh. But he was not just human flesh. He was vindicated, the only begotten Son of God, the Christ. Vindicated by the Holy Spirit. The angels of heaven testified to his birth, testified to his death, and testified to his resurrection. They were present at all those moments. This Christ Jesus has now left the world, gone to be with the Heavenly Father, and from there he shall return one day and will bring judgment. The apostle reminds his people, what you believe makes all the difference in the world. It makes a cosmic difference. Heaven and earth are at stake here. Your place in heaven and on earth is at stake here. So in this letter, the apostle wants to put an end to foolish talk. Let's put an end to what is meaningless. Let's go with the sure word, the certain word. Let's go with sound teaching. Let's go with the teaching that is true. Let us remember what really matters in this life, the love of God, our redemption, our salvation, Jesus' sacrifice, the success of Jesus' mission for us, the success of Jesus' mission to us to save us from the path we are on and to save us for a new life in Jesus Christ. So when we come to this hymn or song or this statement of faith, as we read it here in 1 Timothy, this is sound teaching. This is a restatement of our faith that separates us from so many other people who claim to be religious. This statement from 1 Timothy, this statement unites all Christians. But it separates us from all other faiths. This statement unites all of us who claim Jesus Christ, but it separates us from all other faiths. The faith that Jesus is the Christ is what we claim. This is the faith that we hold to. The Lord God appeared in the flesh in a body, our body. He appeared on our earth to the human race to redeem us from the path we were on. The Lord God came to give us a new life. Jesus succeeded in winning salvation for us. having died and been resurrected, Jesus was glorified. And we sing it. We claim it. We proclaim it to the glory of God the Father. Now, there's only one hymn in the Daleville Christian Church hymnal that even references this passage of Scripture. And it happens to be a Christmas hymn. I am not familiar with it. I checked with my musicians. They're not familiar with it. And I know a lot of Christmas hymns and songs. I'm not familiar with this one. And it's not even a direct quote of the Scripture. It's more of an allusion to it. But there is a contemporary Christian song that we did use in our other service that is taken directly from this passage of Scripture. And I printed the words for you in the sermon notes. I'll read them. And we make available this song here on the website for you to hear this song. Entitled, My King is the Rock, or My King is a Rock, where is sung, He appeared in the body, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory, His name is Jesus, He is my King. My King is the Rock, and the Rock is the Lamb, and the Lamb is the one who died for my sins. He is holy, my God, oh my God. This reminds us that what we are singing is a statement of what we believe, what we claim. It's the truth. It tells us what we believe about God, what we believe about Jesus, what we claim about ourselves, that we too are a part of this Christian tradition. We Christians not only claim this truth, but this truth has a claim on us. To declare Him Lord means our lives will be lived differently than those who do not claim Him as Lord of their life. These trustworthy words define us as Christians, and these trustworthy words guide us in this life. And they will guide us until that day we also will live with our Lord in glory. Amen.